thoughts. Good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate team, here with special guest broker Jenny Whitten. Good morning, Jenny.
Good morning.
We're having a great Saturday morning this morning, and our guest today is the legendary Scott Hill from Call Us First Inspections. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning. I appreciate the legendary, Mark.
I will tell you.
A little bit overboard.
No, it is not, and I'll tell you why. Is I finally Googled Scott Hill in The Hit. I'd never seen that before, and I can't believe I haven't. Well, I didn't remember that.
Well, you're too young. It took place in 1975. That's a long time ago, so that's a good excuse you got there.
So I encourage you, if you're an OU football fan and you have never Googled Scott Hill, The Hit, it is you are leaping over one person and taking out Tony Dorsett. Is that correct?
That's correct. He's that guy. You know, the best part of that story is that Coach, every time I see Coach Switzer, he'll tell me and he'll say, you know, I want to introduce Scott Hill. He's the guy that knocked out Tony Dorsett. He said, you know, he's the guy that started 3 years and made one play. So that's really my claim to fame. We've got our 74 and 75 national championship team being honored a week from this next Friday at the game. So,
oh, really?
We'll get to go down on the field and reminisce about those games as well. So it's kind of nice. A lot of old friends coming back that I haven't seen in a while.
Sounds fun.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun.
Oh, man.
Bad stories.
I get you ready. It gets me excited. Ready to hear Boomer Sooner come out, all the crowd.
Always
it's
for
coming.
Me, you bet. Yeah, ruins my wife's Saturday sometimes because that's all I do, but that's okay.
So Scott Hill is the owner and leader of the inspection team at Call Us First Inspection, and I love the work you do. You are my go-to person when it comes to when I need an inspection. So if you want to, listener, if you want to join the conversation today, the number to call in is 405-840-1000. That's 840-1000. So, Scott, let's just start at the top of the house or near the top of the house, because I was in an attic 2 days ago with a person who is considering selling their house. So they call us and said, hey, come out. Let's tell me what I need to do. And one of the things, they stepped into the attic and said, well, people wonder if the insulation is enough. So when you're looking at an attic, how do you know whether there's enough insulation there?
Well, typically it's a measuring tool. I mean, you get up in the attic and you walk through, and there's different types of insulation. Number one, there's foam insulation, which you'd look to see if there's any holes that lead up into the roof. Typically insulated or foam is the best. It's a little bit more expensive and so forth. And then there's bat blown, and then there's fiberglass. So each one of those different types of insulation takes a little bit different type of evaluation to determine whether there's enough or not. I think typically what John Q. Public will do, or the buyer, if they get up in there, what they'll look for, they'll look to see how high is the insulation in comparison to the studs that are going across the ceiling of the house. And So as long as the insulation is at least 2 inches from the top of the studs all the way across, then generally that's pretty good. Now, that's the good news. The bad news is that most, and I don't want to badmouth inspectors. We have some ourselves we have to train. Mm-hmm. But inspectors will get up and they'll just look from one location. In order to get a really good feel for the insulation, you have to walk all the way back and check it everywhere, because we don't find lack of insulation. We find compressed insulation, where it's been compressed and it really is not providing the adequate enough insulation as it should. So we've really got to look for that. And it's a call where a young inspector is going to have problems with that. Be just like somebody that's never been up in an attic before. They'd go look and they'd see no insulation. That's easy. They see insulation that's halfway up. That's not so easy. And then, but they don't go all the way back and look to see what's going on all the way through the entirety of the attic.
So when you're looking at that, I mean, being up in an attic in August in Oklahoma.
At 70 years old. Okay.
it is like stepping into an oven often. Mm-hmm. How do you know whether it's having enough ventilation?
You know, Mark, that's probably one of the hardest questions that you could ask me, because there's an equation we have to go through to figure that out. And we don't have to, as inspectors, actually have to go through that equation each time. But we have to notice whether what type of insulation is. Is it ridge insulation on the ridge of the roofs? Is there insulation there? Are there box units that have insulation? Are there turbines that have insulation? And then are there soffit vents all the way around the top of the, or bottom of the house there, right at the base of the roof? So all of those have a piece into the insulation. The easiest way to figure that out is you walk around. If there's soffit vents and box vents, typically you're in good shape. If there's both. If there's just soffit vents and no box vents or turbines, then there could be some problems. And if there's just turbines, there better be at least four if the house is over 1,500 square feet. If there's box vents, then you need to have at least five if it's over 1,500 square feet. The newer houses have soffit vents. They have ridge vents across the very top. And then they also have the box vents. You'll see them on both sides of the house, which, and the builders have gotten to the point now to where they create a higher loft, and they're giving it more and more ventilation. It's the houses that are built between the 60s and 70s that you really have to worry about, because there wasn't as much oversight back then for the ventilation parts of the attic as there is now.
Well, and I've even sold some homes that are just a few years old that they've had the foam insulation, and the air conditioning didn't have enough ventilation, and it has rusted out the pans mm-hmm. underneath, and they have gone in and, of course, reinstalled new pans. But, I mean, that costs thousands of dollars, too, and people don't realize that, and some home inspectors don't even catch that.
All right. Well, and, you know, and again, if a home inspector doesn't catch rust in a pan mm-hmm. of a furnace up in the attic, then he's not doing a very good job. You're right. It creates moisture. It creates a certain type of insulation. You've got to have the ventilation for the insulation. Insulation and the ventilation has to be pretty close to perfect for it really to operate, because it's supposed to be air supposed to be moving in there all the time with the wind with all the different vents that you have.
I know one of the things I see in your reports often is the insulation gets blown over, kicked over, thrown over into the soffit vents and gets stopped up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So then you can't have any ventilation through with it.
Yeah, there's two situations with that too. We'll report that, and typically we'll say, you know, you need to get a shop vac. It's not a difficult fix. But you got to remember, when that insulation is blown over into the soffit vents, you also have to replace the insulation, if it's pretty consistent all the way around the house, with all of the insulation that you shop vac out from the vent itself. So
that's right.
It's a twofold problem there. And I doubt very seriously that many of the homeowners, I'm sure that they clean the soffit vents out, but I doubt very seriously that they call a roofer to come back in and actually check the insulation correctly.
You ever find any critters in the attic?
Oh, Mark, I was hoping you didn't ask that question. You said I was going to have, you know, ask me about the worst situation I've ever had in my life is that I walked in and I saw, yes, a possum and his family or her family, whichever one it was, I don't know. And with that, I want to make sure that I say this correctly and not offend anybody, but there was feces throughout the entire attic.
Oh, yeah.
And it was on one of Beth's actual inspections that I did. And I'm going to tell you, it was miserable. Oh. And I can't imagine who was hired to go in and clean that out.
I had to remove a family of raccoons.
The raccoons, yeah. I mean, I've seen lots of critters, but you asked me about the worst situation.
Yeah.
That was by far the worst situation for me. I mean, it was one of those that I had to wear
covered.
A mask. It was terrible.
Yeah, yeah. I think the technical term is scat.
Yeah,
yes.
Scat.
Everywhere. Yes.
That's yes. The, scat everywhere. And you know what? I can't believe. And again, you know, I no negatives towards anybody, but I don't know how they live there, because I knew it when I walked in the garage. I just didn't know where it was.
Right.
But you knew that the smell was somewhere. And
yeah.
I found it.
Well, and imagine how hot you get going up in the attic. They have fur. I don't get it.
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense.
I don't get it either. But they find anywhere that they can hide and it'll hide out.
You ask that. You know, attics in August, from 127 to 167. 167 degrees was the hottest that I've ever
had. Oh, my gosh.
You walk in and we actually take the temperature up there. Now, that's another indicator, too, I was going to kind of close with. Once the attic gets up over 135 degrees, you probably ought to put something in there about the ventilation.
You need some ventilation because it may affect the shingles. And we'll be talking about that when we come back on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. We're here with Call Us First Inspection, Scott Hill. Scott, we're talking about heat in the attic. And if your roof or your attic space, all of that gets too hot, it can really affect the shingles, can it?
It absolutely can. I mean, that it's pretty obvious. Heat rises, and anytime heat rises like that, you don't have the right amount of ventilation. You don't clear it out as much or clean it out as much. Then that heat, not does it only rise, but it rises and stays. And so right in there between about a 6-inch area, that's where the hottest part of the attic is during the hottest part of the day. So your shingles are laid down with tar, and that tar starts to melt. And the next thing you know, that tar starts to melt, and the shingles start to disintegrate, and there becomes a problem after a period of time.
So can you tell when you just step on a roof whether it's too hot or not?
I can. I was telling you at the break, I can, because when my shoes stick to the shingles, that's the easiest one. Now, that doesn't happen all the time. The other way is when you're walking on it and they slide just a little bit, the shingles will slide a little bit. So, you know, it's just like tar or anything else that it gets so hot, then it'll slide. It may not slide a long ways, but it'll slip just a little
bit. Interesting.
Yeah. So that's the easiest way to know. The final way is when you have shingles, when you have heat, and then you have shingles that the granules have come off, which happen on older roofs and older shingles, that also is a good indicator because it'll bubble up. I mean, that's obvious then you've got a big problem.
Well, and I've noticed it during ice and snow. Sometimes the granules will come off the shingles.
When they're new, sometimes even wind and rain, hard wind and rain, right at first, they'll blow them down. You always know, the realtor will say, well, it's a new roof. I said, oh, I know it's a new roof, but you'll take a picture of the gutters, and the gutters are that deep with the granules.
Right.
So that happens most all the time, that much. But when it gets really extensive, I mean, you can see it's just flat and plain.
Yeah. So when you're on a roof, what else do you look for?
Well, we look for any kind of, I'm going to call them humps in the roof. We look for exposed nail heads. Exposed nail heads, people don't give it enough credit, but you have nails that go into all the shingles, but on the ridge points and with all of the different vents, you have nails that go in, and eventually they put a certain type of putty on there that seals those. That comes up, and when you see a nail that where the putty has come off and it's starting to rust, then that means that the water is now getting in there and actually leaking back into the roof somehow, some way. Mm. So you need to repair those exposed nail heads. And any kind of vent stacks that are leaning, that's another thing that you look for. But specific to the roof, it's really pretty easy to walk on a roof and know whether it needs to be, in my opinion, whether it needs to have a roofer come or not. And I wanted to say this, you know, the two things that we don't want to make a mistake on are roofs and structure, because those things, even from our liability insurance perspective, you know, we're very cautious. We always err on the side of caution there when, you know, sometimes we may call for a roofer when we don't really need to, just because it's on that cutting edge, so to speak. But you can see points. It's like the adjusters go up there. What they look for is they look for 10-foot square areas where there may be 10 to 15 hail marks in that 10 to foot square area, and it's pretty easy to see that.
Yeah.
So the toughest part to handle is when you walk up and the sun's just right and everything's just glistening. It looks like the whole roof is fixing to fall off because the granules have fallen off, and on the edges it's really gotten really slick and so forth. And so you see all these glaring, you know, pieces or pieces of shingle, and you go, golly Moses, son. So you got to walk over and really look at them really close. That's the hardest one to make a determination on.
So when I talk to a buyer and they're hiring, typically it's a buyer that is hiring home inspections because they're looking at purchasing a home, and it is an inspection time period that's in our contracts. And I tell them, you know, you hire an experienced inspector like Collis and First Inspections, and they are the general physician type. They will basically say, here's the general wellness of the home.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And they may call for a specialist to give their opinion about the house.
Mm-hmm.
So is that a pretty good way to describe you do?
That is a good way to describe it. I think the easiest way to understand it is ours is a visual inspection. You know, we don't go and lift things up. We turn things on to make sure that they operate correctly. But and I think the key word is licensed. We're not licensed. We're taught certain things by a standard of practice that we have to go and take the test periodically and go through classes every year and so forth. But ours is just visual, and sometimes in all literalness, it's a guess. That's like I said a while ago. You see, we'll get into it in a minute in structure, but roofs are difficult sometimes because you'll have certain areas that, as I told you a while ago, in those 10-foot square areas, you may see four big hail marks in one area over here, but there's only four. And then you walk to the other side, and there's four there, but it's not consistent in a 10-foot square area. Well, what do you do? And then there's the easy ones where you got shingles flapping and blowing off, and those are the ones I walk up, you know, say, oh, good, I don't have to worry about this one.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think the key thing for owners to know is, number one, that you have to have an inspection. Number two, you want somebody that obviously is qualified. But number three, you want to understand that it's visual. And I think one of the things, if I was calling and asking for an inspector in another state, the thing that I would ask how many inspections have you done and how many inspections do you average a year? Because
that's a great question.
Yeah, because home inspectors, we have, you guys know this, y'all are my lifeline. I mean, if I don't do a good job for you, you're not going to hire me ever again. So if we've been working with the same realtors for a period of 4 or 5 years, that's the best resume that you can have. And so that we average 450 to 500 inspections a year, which is a lot of inspections.
Yeah. I will tell you from a realtor perspective, and let's kind of dive into this just before we hit the break here, of realtors have a love hate with inspectors.
Yeah, I understand.
It is.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people don't realize this when they go into a deal, when they're selling their house or they're buying a house, is you have this inspection time period. Mm-hmm. And I tell especially my sellers, I don't get excited until after we've negotiated the TRR, which is treatment, repair, and replace.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then the appraisal has to come back, and if there's any appraisal requirements. But I think that's where, you know, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. We were talking about code of ethics.
Yeah.
If you don't have a relationship with your clients and you don't care, you know, you're all about the inspection, where are you at your life at that point? You know, you need to care.
Yeah. Because typically in a progression of a contract on real estate, it goes under contract. There's an inspections that are paid for by the buyer. And then the buyer will bring up a list of things that it is connected with your inspection report. We connect it with, you know, we saw this. Shingles are missing. We show the picture. It's picture number two. And we ask the buyer to replace the shingle. And here's what
seller
to replace the shingles. And the contract is an as-is contract. The seller's not obligated to fix anything.
That's right.
And it comes to a negotiation. And this is where I think a lot of inexperienced realtors, they get lost in it. And if you have an inspector who feels like their job is to point out not every flaw, but every potential what ifs, and bring up and scare, it just destroys a deal.
I was going to say, Mark, I think in our training process with inspectors, we go to a large degree. Our biggest point is it's the presentation. At the end of the presentation, and you made a good point, you know, our job's not to say, hey, this is here, this may happen tomorrow. Our job is to say, this is here, this is what's happening right now. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Don't make any predictions. I'll give you a great example. I'm not going to say who, it doesn't make any difference, who I trained with. I went in. I'm sorry?
I think let's go for got a great example coming. And okay. We're going to keep it till after the break.
Okay.
And because this is a really important part of knowing who to hire for an inspection. Because you don't want them to bust the deal.
That's right. And we understand that.
When we come back right here in Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team, here with Jenny Witten, special guest broker with us today, and our guest, Scott Hill with Call Us First Inspections. And it is, let's not do word of the day yet. I want to finish your story, Scott.
Okay. Well, what I was talking about is we were talking about the presentation at the end. That's really a key issue. It should be for everybody, and it certainly is for us. And the example I was going to give with one of the groups that I worked with when I was training is, I was following an inspector around, at the end, it just so happened to be this 27-year-old female school teacher with two kids that was freshly divorced buying her first house. And, you know, at the time, I'm just following around. I'm not really paying much attention. And what happened was the inspector that I was following around, he had these red stickers in his pocket, and he was going around in every electrical outlet that was loose. He was putting red stickers on. And so the poor lady walks in with the two kids, and she starts walking around. She sees all these red stickers in the house. She says, I can't buy this house, and leaves. It's a true story.
Really?
She leaves because she was afraid of all these red stickers. And all it was a screwdriver, tightening the –
Like two turns of a screwdriver.
Exactly. And you know, you just can't present like that. So that for us, that's one of the things we really work on because, as we were talking, Jenny, a while ago, it's really important for the inspector to understand that you've got the buyer that is really your client, and then you've got the realtor who is your lifeline to getting the next job, and then you have the seller. They're going to be upset if you find too much too. So that's why we really try to emphasize that it's visual, and you know it's what happens right now. It's not what takes place 6 months from now. And a lot of home inspectors, I think, want to be too smart. They want to find things. They go in with the idea of, man, if I don't fill out this whole list of things, that I haven't done a good job or earned my money or whatever. But the best home inspection that can be done for the realtor, for the buyer, and for the inspector is when you walk in there and we've got a list of 1,000 things we look at during the course of an inspection, and you come in and there's zero. That's the best inspection that you can find because everything's working properly now. And then you've got the seller.
I don't think I've ever had one of those.
We haven't either. I'm being a bit facetious there. But then you got the true story. You got the situation where we didn't find much. And so the buyer was frustrated because they paid us our fee and didn't think we found enough. So there's this balance that we really have to work
with. It's a fine line.
It is. And as an old saying, another guy I knew, he says, home inspectors don't bust deals. Houses bust deals. Mm-hmm. Home inspectors do bust deals sometimes when they go overboard with what they're trying to actually find.
Yeah. Well,
and a lot of the new ones, they just have a program where they're filling things in and then they color code them and they only have three options. And they're not explaining to these buyers that because they picked the yellow color,
right,
that this is not – something that's broken now, just watch it.
And
that scares people.
Yeah. That's a big, and your reports, which are great, Scott, but they also have the, like, red is a safety issue, mm-hmm. needs to be looked at. It's critical. It may cause harm mm-hmm. if not fixed. Mm-hmm. And usually most houses, there's not very many red that pop up, or there shouldn't be, because most people, it's something critical. It's yellow means you need a professional. Mm-hmm. If you're a really good handyman, you may be able to fix it yourself. Mm-hmm. And then there's other stuff that are just general knowledge stuff.
Yeah, and then there's orange, which we think probably a handyman could take care of. My favorite story, you've heard this a million times, Mark, I saw, but you haven't heard it. My best story is my wife comes to me one day after I've been in the home inspection business for about a year, and she says, God's really been good to you. And I said, well, what do you mean? She says, really, says, you know, you can't fix a cotton picking thing, and you're getting paid for telling everybody how to fix everything.
So good. Yeah, that is so good. That the biggest part is for, if you're a realtor listening to this show, is have an inspector who knows how to talk to people.
Exactly.
That is the critical piece. Because I tell, buyers and sellers, my job is for you to know the facts, mm-hmm. not to sugarcoat it, not to make it so scary that it's not the reality of what's happening, that you need to know exactly what's, I can't change the facts. Mm-hmm. I need to present the facts.
Well, mm-hmm. I don't think any of us woke up and thought, hey, we would know XYZ about repairs. Mm-hmm. We ended up in this situation, mm-hmm. and I never in a million years would have thought that we would have gained that kind of knowledge from what we see on a daily basis.
Absolutely. Yeah. We agree.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It is time for our word of the day. Come on, baby. Tell me what's the word. A word of. Everybody say. When you hear the call, you got to get it underway. Our word of the day is brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing from a small repair to a complete replacement. Give them a call at 405-728-3700. That's 405-728-3700. Our word of the day today is structural foundation. Jenny, how do we define structural foundation?
Structural integrity is a structure's ability to perform at its best under pressure, including its own weight, without failing or deforming too much.
So the integrity of the foundation is a key part of what you're looking for. How do you know whether a crack is okay or a crack is on crack and it really is bad?
There's several different ways. I'm going to tell you that the structural engineers that we have different licensed component people come over and visit with us period. And the best example I've had, you can have cracks in your mortar. What I mean by that is there's cracks that go, they go and then they go around the brick. They don't go through the brick. They go around the brick. And then you can have separation between the window and the frame. But the key issue when you know for a fact that, or typically, I'm going to say not 100% of the time, but what we go by is if you find a crack in the brick that is at least 3 feet long that goes vertical straight down, and it goes through the mortar, through the brick, through the mortar, and through the brick, and you could take a quarter and you can stick it in the crack where the brick is, that you need to make a determination to get a structural engineer or a peering company in to take a look at it. But that is a common denominator of most structural engineers that say that's a pretty good indicator. And the other thing is if you have a crack that starts at the top of the house and goes all the way down, whether it's a step crack or a vertical crack or a horizontal crack, and it goes, all the way from top to bottom, then you certainly need to say something about that too. And those are, as I said earlier, those are the roof and the structural part are the two biggest ones.
And I think what people do not realize, they only think piers in Oklahoma, but they forget the attic. The attic has a lot to do with your structure as well. And if the framing is not right, it can also cause problems.
Yeah. And, Jenny's good point, because that's probably the easiest place for a home inspector to mention structural engineer or to find a structural specialist is when you're up in the attic and you see the crossbars that are cracked, mm-hmm. or you see the support boards don't have supports on them or that are cracked. Those are easy, easy
or non-existent.
That's right. Good point. Yeah.
One of the big things so when you call for a structure to be looked at, I always have to talk to the buyer, and they have two ways to go. And you mentioned both of them. One is get a structural engineer's report, and the other is to have a peering company come out and look at it. Mm-hmm. And this is a tough call sometimes for buyers on it, because a structural engineer comes out and will give you an engineer's report about what's happening with that house.
That's right.
Is it moving? If it is moving, where should peering go, or where should other means that they can do for it, like injection, foam that lifts up stuff and things like that. A peering company comes out, and their job is to sell peers.
And they're free when they come out.
That's the hard part that comes out. And I know, Scott, this is I'm not asking you to comment on this, because it's not your call with it. But you tell them you need one of the two to come out to look at it. The peering company comes out for free, but they rarely would I have an engineering report with that. It is someone who is not an engineer, but is a peering specialist. And I will tell you that sometimes I've had peering company come out and give a report, and then I have a structural engineer come out and give me a report,
and they don't match.
Very, very different.
That's right.
Yeah. And this is the opinion of El Marco right here, is go with the structural engineer report if you really think you have movement. I think it is worth it. Typically on a home, it is less than $1,000 to get a structural engineer's report. So, and I went to the last house we went to buy. It had peering, which I never mind peering, because I tell Oklahomans you can either have your house pre-peered or post-peered.
That's right. That's right.
That's exactly right. You know, I've bought and sold 25 homes, I guess, in my career. And of those, one of the things I look for, homes that have those type problems that I think are going to be peered, because typically you can negotiate the price down because of the peering, and then you can get it peered and add it onto the price at the end. And you know, provided that you're using a qualified peering company, they're going to give you a 25-year to lifetime warranty on those peers. And that's not necessarily, I don't want to say it's a bad thing, but it's not necessarily an unusual thing in the state of Oklahoma for your house to need peers at some point in time.
Yeah, that's what I was looking at this house, and it had, I think, about 14 peers around it, all the way around. And I had a structural engineer come out and provide a report. And he said, Mark, they just stuck a bunch of peers around here and didn't actually look at what the problem was. And
what was the problem?
The problem was that the drainage around it wasn't properly done. And he said the only way to fix this is actually to dig out the garage.
What?
because everything within the garage space was going towards the inside of the house.
Ooh.
So you actually had to redo the slant, starting with inside the garage going outside. And he's like, this is multi thousands dollars fix it. And he said, and honestly, Mark, I'm not sure if that would completely fix the problem. It's still moving. And we decided, I don't think this is our house.
Right.
This is, and that's where I think the inspection is just really important.
Yeah, general specialist.
Specialist.
Yeah, yep. There you go. Well, and you know, I think that's one of the things we try to do, particularly on structural, is we use the term structural specialist, and then we have conversations with, as you know, Mark, with our realtors, and kind of let them deal with that, because our issue is we don't want to say, you know, get a structural engineer when it really you just need a couple of peers.
So right.
We just kind of leave that up to the client and the realtor and use the term structural specialist.
Yep, that's really good. All right, we'll be back with your Smoking Hot Deal right here in Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Our special guest is Scott Hill with Call Us First Inspection, and it's time for our Smoking Hot Deal. Feeling hot, hot, hot. Oh, Lord. Our Smoking Hot Deal is brought to you by Casa Perico Mexican Grill, located on the southwest corner of 122nd and Penn, on 63rd just west of Meridian at 505 East Main Street in Yukon, and on May Avenue just north of Hefner Road. So our Smoking Hot This Deal week, let me try that again. And cue. Our Smoking Hot Deal this week is in El Reno. It's just north on Choctaw Road. It is just north of downtown. Great little location. 610 North Choctaw Road. It is a two-bedroom, two-bath, just slightly over 1,000 square feet, has a great backyard, and amazingly for this home, it has a usable, nice basement.
Oh, wow. Hmm.
I know. It's a rarity in Oklahoma to have a dry basement. Yeah. Our water table's just high. It just doesn't happen very often. This one's listed at $119,500. It is a great home, either first home, investment home. And if that is ringing a bell for you, you can go to BeckyIvins.com, BeckyIvins.com, and click on search listings, and you can take a virtual walkthrough for yourself right there. So that is our Smoking Ideal brought to you by Casa Perico. So we're talking with Scott Hill about, we've talked about foundations, and a lot of, when we get into foundation, we talk about water flow, because it impacts foundations, not the only thing that impacts a foundation, but it's about the only thing that we can control is water.
That's exactly right. And as we were talking, you know, one of the most frustrating things that I see from my perspective, home inspector's perspective, is a new family or new buying a brand new home and the home not having gutters on it. Over the over a period of time, not having gutters, particularly if there's any elevation between from one home to the next home on either one of the either side, not having gutters, then it's just common sense that the settlement on that side is going to create problems. And we talked earlier from a structural perspective, it's obvious that it'll cause problems on the foundation from a foundation perspective. Mm-hmm. But it also, when you start getting movement, then your house can actually start leaning, moving down on one side. Then you get the cracks in the attic. It just affects the entire structural integrity
domino
of the
effect.
House. It is. It just works on that. So not having gutters, that may be the one issue that we recommend more than anything else in our entire process is having full guttering system.
And I think people need to understand that it is not a break the bank situation. Gutters are reasonably priced and they will absolutely save your home.
Yeah. So I think by code, if I have it correct, I think the only requirement is gutter over the air conditioning system.
Yeah, over the condenser, exactly.
Yeah. And so they're often, if you buying a new home, that's the only place they put. Water is extremely lazy. It will just go to whatever low point. It just flows.
And it's dangerous. And people don't think about it. But, right. I mean, it's kind of like turn around, don't drown, you know. Oh, I'll just drive through this water and kill my car. Well, why would you not take care of your house?
Yep. So look around your property. And if you have a neighbor that's sitting higher than you, guess what? You're getting their water. It's coming. And then where's it flowing to? It is. Where's it coming from? Where's it going to?
A couple of comments here. I think if you're watching, if you're going and buying a house that's already finished, that's one thing. But if you're building a house or having a builder build a house for you, one of the things that we've suggested that works sometime, not all of the time, is if they don't have gutters on it, you can go back to the builder and actually ask the builder to add gutter in the guttering system, and then you can put it on your 30-year note. And then you don't have to come out of pocket of $1,500, $1,800. Yeah. The other thing I think I would like to point out, particularly when we're talking about moisture, I do the exterior the majority of the time. Any place I walk around the house and there's any kind of hole, whether it be a crack in the brick or whether it be a window that's not caulked correctly or whether it be a trim piece, any place moisture can enter your house is a place that needs to be repaired. Moisture creates more problems from top to bottom of your house than anything else.
Well, and leaky windows, it'll destroy your sheetrock. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And what I would encourage is with those downspouts from the gutters, put out those little extenders that kick that water away from your foundation.
Absolutely.
Make sure you're not dumping it down. And it just pools right there.
You see those, they've been stepped on. And people are like, oh, whatever.
Yeah. So if you have, next time the heavy rains, so here's your assignment, dear listener. Next time you have a heavy rain, get out your umbrella after it's been raining a bit and go look to see if you have any ponding around your foundation.
Well, and also, what's the typical time period that you would want to wait? I mean, if you've had torrential downpour, you expect to see, you know, mud in your yard. But how long would you suggest, Scott, to wait? And if it's still muddy, if it's still sitting there, You know, what's the typical rule of thumb for hours that you would wait?
Let me take that from a different perspective.
Okay.
Go out there today. Go out there today. It's not raining today. Walk around the side of your house where you don't have gutters. Look and see what kind of indention that you have in the ground.
That's good.
Right.
Good
now, because there's going to be an indention there. It's going to look like some sort of drain, and it's going to run one way or the other. Now, if you have a slope, then it's going to run off of that pretty quick. But if it's fairly flat, you're going to see exactly how easy it is for water just dripping off the top of the house over a period of time to create a problem.
Wow.
Wow. Now, Scott, we talked about new homes. It's a question I get all. I'm buying a new home. Do I need an inspection?
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say this sort of tongue in cheek, but there are times, and I'm going to give the builders an excuse. But builders are building homes so fast right now that at times they have a crew. Again, I'm not going to call out anybody, but we sometimes find more things bad or reportable on a new home than we do homes that were built in the late 90s and early 2000s. It seems like the late 90s and early 2000 homes were really built well. And there are builders out there. I know when I get a call and if they say, well, it's a certain builder's home, I'm going to go, well, we're going to have to look at this because there's something there. I'm going to give you an example. We did, and we almost got sued over this, is that we did an inspection for one of the builders. And I looked under the sink, and underneath the sink, there's a P-trap underneath the sink. There's a drain line for the sink. And then there's what's called a P-trap or an S-trap underneath that. And they had the electrical box for the disposal and the dishwasher directly underneath the P-trap. Huh. Well, there's going to be more leaks right there than anywhere else. And we wrote that up. You know, that needs to be on the side of the wall, not there. They had to go back and change. I'm not going to tell you how many they had to go do that. It was a deal. But you just find things like that. They get in a hurry, and, you know, whatever electrician did that didn't have any common sense, you know, for sure. So we find a lot of things on that. And I would like to mention, Mark, if you guys don't mind, we're one of the probably the only one. This was an idea that I had years ago, and it's really paid off. We do new home inspections, and we charge by the square footage. But we come back at 11 months. You have a warranty on your home in the state for 12 months. And we come back and do a warranty inspection at the 11-month time period. And we only charge half price. And I can assure you we will pay for both inspections two times over by coming back and doing that inspection.
I can't tell you how much I love that and how good that is for your clients and our clients. It's a great thing. Mm-hmm. The story I have for new inspection that I tell every buyer who's buying a new is that I had someone buying a significant home, about $500,000 home. And the new construction did the inspection. And they found that they just forgot to do ventilation on the roof. And without an inspect, it had just been missed. Mm-hmm. And it was a great builder, but we're all human.
Sure.
And that's where mistakes been made.
That's right.
Yeah. So Scott Hill from Call Us First Inspection, thanks for being our guest this week. If you want to reach out to Scott Hill, you can go to BeckyIvins.com, click on Becky's favorites. You'll see Call Us First right there. Jenny Witten, thanks for being here this week.
Thank you for having me.
Listener, we'll see y'all next week. Have a wonderful Jim Ivins, sing us out.
May each day in the week be a good day. May the Lord always watch over you. And may all of your hopes turn to wishes, and may all of your wishes come true.